Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Ever want all your favorite programs from the likes of Netflix, HBO Max, and Disney Plus in one viewing place instead of hopscotching from one service to another? Screen Hits TV says the solution is ours. Is that so? Judge for yourself when Chief Executive Rose Atkins-Holt joins me next from London. Is blockchain and cryptocurrencies in lockstep the comeback development in the making? When it comes to creating financing, distributing new TV projects, Starport believes so. Earlier this month, this new venture tapped blockchain and crypto to raise, get this, $50 million. I'll say it again, $50 million. The full story next half hour from key executives Carrie Granite and James Wines. And Bounce TV brought Saints and Sinners back for its fifth season last night. Executive producer Nigel Campbell comes your way in our final half hour. Also on deck, Valley's next TV moves, College Bowl comeback, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Block Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two if you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 50 degrees, a gray overcast sky here in the New York metro area at the top of the hour, and we welcome you to this special 90-minute edition of the program about TV's current and future. We have a jam-packed show for you today, and we have a special announcement about an episode we will do tomorrow afternoon at a special time. Stay tuned for that. This is the first of three episodes we are doing this week. And as always, we'd love to have you in on the conversation. If you have a question or comment for any of our guests over the next 90 minutes, ring it in at this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is in anywhere you're attached to us across the country, around the globe, here on Block Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about the phone, don't worry. We have a chat room all ready for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Speaker TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions of TV Live with you. The head of Screen Hits TV, Rose Atkins-Holt, joins us live from London after these news notes. Stage 2 of Bally's regional sports network relationship with top station owner Sinclair is underway. Bally's will develop a variety of live sports and interactive content and a sports betting application for 19 regional networks, plus the nationally distributed The Tennis Channel and Stadium. Bally's chairman, Soo Kim, through a statement says this content, and I quote, will elevate the live viewing experience in a manner not seen before, unquote. NBC is ready to start its primetime revival of the varsity sport of the mind, the College Bowl. Capital One will take over from General Electric as the series sponsor, and Peyton Manning will host, joined by Brother Cooper as a sidekick. As before, teams of college and university students around the country will compete in a quiz for academic scholarships. The first contest will run June 22nd on NBC with $1 million in scholarships in play. Now, quickies, former ESPN anchor person Adnan Burke becomes the new lead WWE voice tonight on US Network's Monday Night Raw, replacing Tom Phillips, who will move elsewhere at WWE. NBC Universal will keep Access Hollywood and Access Daily in first-run syndication through 2025. Season 2 of War of the Worlds, with Gabriel Byrne heading the cast in this rendition, starts on FX June 6th. And the opening set of Academy Award presenters are in place. The participants include Angela Bassett, Bryan Cranston, Harrison Ford, Rita Moreno, and Reese Witherspoon. ABC presents the 93rd Academy Awards live on April 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live to all coasts. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from across the Atlantic in London, hello, England, where it is now around shortly after 8 p.m., I believe, local time, is the chief executive of Screen Hits TV, Rose Atkins-Holt. Rose, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
It is a pleasure.
Can you hear me?
So explain what Screen Hits is all about and what it's out to do in terms of making our viewing experience, at least with the programs that you'll find on a Netflix, a Disney Plus, a Hulu, et cetera, work.
Well, first of all, it's going to save everybody money because we all have these high cable bills, and we're now spending most of our time on all these streaming services. And what Screen Hits basically does is it lets you take all your existing services like Netflix or Amazon Prime or HBO Max and integrate them into one app. So instead of having to flick between each and every app to find something to watch, it's just all right there in one place. I'm cool.
And how do you do that? What is the technology process? And if you can explain in layman's terms, that'd be great for all of us to understand. What is the process by which you can do that?
Well, we basically have partnerships with a lot of the major players. They send us something called an API, which taps into their database, which allows to collate all the different data points from log lines to key art to the video deep links, which makes it really easy. So it's like a very big Google database for TV and film.
Now, are they okay with this? I mean, are they copacetic with the fact you're doing this?
Oh, my God, 100%. I mean, we're working with some of the biggest players, like from WarnerMedia and Disney+, and they, for them, it's customers are what matters to them, and they want to make the customer's life that much easier. They understand that customers are now in a world where there are so many different streaming services coming to them at every different angle. And what's happening is that most people just go to Netflix, right? And they can't find anything to watch, and they may open up another app. But what happens is that people that have three or four apps, and in the U.S. it's like seven, they're not even getting use of all of those apps. So what's going to happen is that people are going to start cutting and getting rid of those apps because they're not using them. And what Screen is doing is helping those customers be able to see their content across all of their apps at the same time, which eliminates, you know, people, you know, getting rid of, you know, a Netflix or a Prime or a Disney. So they're very open to working with platforms like Screen Hits to make the viewer's life easier.
Mm-hmm. And where is Screen Hits playing on the TV set? Do you have deals with many of the major smart TV sets like Samsung and LG and Vizio, as well as the smart TV devices like Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, et cetera, to put your app on?
Yeah, so basically Screen Hits is a tablet app right now, tablet app on iOS and then also on the web. And we are launching literally now on the Amazon Fire Stick, the Chromecast, and Android TVs. And we are in development because we do have deals with Vizio and with LG and with another German brand called Metz, which is global. We do have a mobile app coming out in the next few weeks with a Roku add-on, which will allow people to search for what they want to watch and then play it on their Roku. They don't even have to download an app, which is different and great because it makes their life that much easier.
Mm-hmm. Rose Atkins-Hulse is the chief executive of Screen Hits TV, and as you've just heard, it's now running on some smart TV sets and smart devices, will be on others as the months go on here in 2021. You're hearing her live from London this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Glad to have you with us. We're just getting started with this 90-minute edition, first of three we're doing this week, of the program about TV's current and future. If you have a question or a comment for Rose, make the call, make it go, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Tomorrow we'll be with you with a special edition at a special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. And we have a very special guest joining us live from Los Angeles, Megan Gans, the co-creator and executive producer of the popular Apple TV Plus series, Mythic Quest. It goes into its second season next month, and later this month, they're doing a special season one extra episode. And we'll talk to Megan about both. That's Megan Gans from Mythic Quest. She will join us live as part of a press day that they're doing with the co-creators, the executive producers, and many of the cast members. And we'll join in progress. So be sure to join us with Megan, and don't forget you'll be able to call and chat room your questions and comments to her as well live. That's Tomorrow Live at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Rose, how long has Screen Hits TV been in the work for?
Screen Hits has been around since 2012. It was originally a business-to-business aggregator app. And about 18 months ago, we decided to use our technology to kind of address some of the issues going on now for the consumer. And
so
it's
what,
just
what,
gone live.
What encouraged the shift to go from being a business-to-business app to being a consumer service?
A lot of our partners that we were talking to had come to us, and they said that their focus on selling international and licensing their rights was shifting to bringing a lot of that content back in-house because they were launching their own streaming services like Disney Plus and Peacock and Paramount Plus and HBO Max. And we knew this was happening about 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And so we knew that there was going to be a major shift, and we wanted to continue to use our technology in the industry and address some of the concerns for our customers. So it just made perfect sense, and we adapted with that change.
Mm-hmm. So when people tune into this app, what do they see? How does the app look?
Well, this is what's unique about it. So most of these, like, aggregator apps or services like Roku, they all are kind of built off of the Netflix interface where you just have carousel after carousel after carousel. When you start really integrating a number of different streaming services with thousands of, you know, shows, that becomes quite overwhelming. And so we kind of stripped that back, and we used our B2B interface, which created like an EPG, a TV guide. And so once you add all of your streaming services into one, you see something very different that you don't normally see out there. You're able to see each brand, their logo, and then the top recommended trending shows for you in every session. So you get a really good quick look at that to kind of compartmentalize what's happening on all of your different platforms. Then there's a Discover section, which tells you what's trending across all of them, what's recommended, what you've been watching across all your platforms. And my favorite is your friends can share with me what they're watching across all their platforms, and it pops up on your Discover page.
Mm-hmm. And are you finding early on that there's a particular demographic, a particular audience that is looking to watch your app more than others, or a certain genre of programming that people are apt to watch on your app more than others?
Yes, I would say originally we started out with pretty much a 50-50 split between males and females, and then we noticed it started to skew more towards males between the ages of 35 and 60. It's obviously the higher demographic, people that have multiple streaming services. What we have been finding from just the research is that people that have something in particular that they want to watch in mind, they do not want to go to their go-to app because they don't feel they're going to find it there. So they're really using screeners to kind of just find quickly, wait, where can I find that? So that's one of the benefits. The second that we're finding is that, you know, people don't like flicking between 3 to 4 apps. If they can't find something on one, they really don't want to have to open up another one on their smart TV, get their remote control, and then search through that. It's quite a pain point. And ScreenHits allows them to do that through their tablet app, and very soon they'll be able to press play, and it'll launch on their TVs.
How soon after a Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus or Discovery Plus launches an original program do you get the program? Is it a simultaneous window, or do you have to wait a couple of days after it premieres elsewhere before you get the content?
It works in two ways. So with some of the larger partners, we have a direct meta feed from them. So as it's updated on their site, it's automatically updated on our site. Others, we use an authorized feed where they provide metadata feeds for aggregators and distribution platforms. And those, it takes a while for them to get that updated. So I would say 90% of the content is from a direct feed through our partners. And we're just constantly trying to work to get those feeds quicker and faster. But what we're finding is that there's so much opportunity right now for these streaming services, and they're just overwhelmed and inundated trying to get their apps on every single, you know, device manufacturer, PlayStation manufacturer. There's like overload of workload for them. So we try our best to you know, eliminate the stress for them and get their content on our platform as soon as possible. And then if over time, start to tap into their direct API feed.
Okay. Rose, over the last year and change, we have seen a lot of new independently owned networks, many of them from people of color, many of them produced by women, get on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. They have made a Roku, they have made a Apple TV, they've made a Samsung set their primary or their exclusive way to reach viewers. Are you working with those group of players as well as with the folks like the Netflixes, the Hulus, the Amazons, the Disney Plus of the world?
We are open to working with other players. I mean, when we started, we obviously went after the top big 10 players, premium players, because that's where a lot of the customers have their streaming services with. But we are working with a lot of local and a lot of niche, powerful, successful program streaming partners. It's important for us. We're not just going after the big guys. We also want to create an opportunity for more niche and new platforms to have a way to kind of fit in and reach consumers where they're not able to do it because it's a busy marketplace. So they need to be part of something like this to ensure that customers are able to discover them and find them and add them to a bundle and have that as an add-on for them. Because there's a lot of great content hidden in some of those platforms that a lot of people don't know about.
Some of the services that you work with are subscription video on demand, like a Netflix. Some carry advertising, like a Hulu, like very soon HBO Max, like Peacock, for example. If you carry ad-supported programming, do you get the opportunity to sell ads on your service?
Yes, we do. So for some of our larger players, we don't. We are working with Lionsgate in some territories on an AVOD channel, and we do provide that advertising. So we work with some of the largest ad networks out there and provide 100% fill rate for those shows through Screen Hits TV.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very
now,
important because a
terms,
lot of streaming.
In terms of, go ahead, Rose. I'm sorry, interrupted there.
It's okay. I was just going to say that a lot of apps out there that do have AVOD, they don't necessarily get 100% fill rate. They sometimes get between a 30 to 50% fill rate. So, with our three partnerships we work with, we're able to do 100% fill rate on our platform, which is exciting and it's great for our partners.
Because you have that ability, Rose, is Screen Hits TV free to the user, or do they have to pay a certain fee, a certain monthly or yearly fee?
It's free off of the web version. The tablet app, the mobile app, the smart TV app, there is a 99 cent fee, but that gives them access to additional cool features like Watch Together, discounted bundles, the ability to cast it to your TV across all your streaming services. It gets you, you know, private premium shows and exclusives. Somebody wants it for free, they can always watch it for free through the web.
We're talking about Screen Hits TV. It's a new service that is now running on some smart TV sets and smart devices, more to come. And we are talking live from London with its Chief Executive Officer, Rose Atkins-Host. She joins us this half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. First of three episodes we are doing this very week. Tom Happ, I'm with you live from the other side of the Atlantic, New York City, where it's 50 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for Rose in our remaining minutes with her, give a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, coming up in our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. Be ready for it, because you could win three prizes, including the soundtrack of Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, Episode 1, by the great Oscar-winning composer John Williams, and the terrific new best-selling book, Enough About Me, The Unexpected Power of Selfishness, by MSNBC anchor and journalist Richard Lee. So stay tuned. We'll give you the details about how you can enter, and maybe today's the day you can be our latest classic trivia winner. On Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we got another good hour for you, at least. First of all, BYU TV is doing one of its most unique scripted projects ever. Two comedies that are interrelated. They're called The Parker Andersons and Amelia Parker, and they're premiering later this month. We'll have the executive producer of both programs, Mark Bishop. And finally, it was last week that we brought you Christina Kim, the executive producer and showrunner of the CW's critically acclaimed new version of Kung Fu. Well, we will have another person that makes that show run on our program. She is one of the hottest TV composers in the business, Sherry Chung. She also writes the music for the CW series Riverdale, and she's one of the co-music writers for the popular long-running series on NBC, Blind Spot. Sherry Chung, composer of Kung Fu, which is on Wednesday nights, by the way, 8 p.m. Pacific time on the CW. She'll be with us Friday exclusively, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Rose, what is your overall thoughts about this expanded universe, this era of plentiful TV, where you have the Netflixes and the Hulus and the Amazons now joined by this whole bunch of mega content services from Apple TV Plus, Discovery Plus, HBO Max?
I think it's just the future of television. You know, there's been many different generations of it and how consumers view it, and Apple TV is the future. I think Apple Plus, you know, they have their own original programming. So in one way, they're an aggregator, but they're also trying to compete with the Netflixes of the world and the Disney Pluses of the world by, you know, pushing their original programming. And you see that on some of the other aggregators. You have, you know, Roku, that is everybody under the sun, which is, you know, a huge Google database. But I think it'll be really interesting as the market really becomes more focused, and there's a lot of research out there on how consumers are cord cutting or transitioning or interacting with cable TV and app TV. And we'll start to see a more of a trend around curated streaming services for the consumer.
By the way, we know that the pandemic has accelerated this entire scene over the last year. How has it impacted getting your service rolled out and just the operation side of things?
It's interesting. So when we started putting this together, a lot of the streaming services were not out, but they've all been accelerated, obviously, over the past year and pushed forward. It's really, you know, I would say in actually working from the B2B side and how long it was taking to kind of get the industry to understand the importance of using digital technology for the buying and selling of content, it has been massively accelerated because the consumer has now started adding a number of streaming services, and they're also not seeing a lot of uptake on those that subscribe. They're seeing a huge drop-off on some of the newer services. And so for us, it's been great because the industry is able to see the benefit of why an aggregator that focuses on a curated approach is really important in ensuring that their content always stays top of mind with the viewer, no matter where they go. And so it's been a very unique time for us, I would say.
Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, Univision launched its own mega content service, Prende TV. Are you working with them to have a place to screen hits? And also, what about the possibilities of maybe doing some special tiers or some special services or features specifically for the African-American community, Latino community, Asian-Americans, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a huge area for us. You know, we just came out with we're coming out with a bundle, and we're about to announce a major partnership with an Indian streamer where we're focusing on the India diaspora globally. And we are putting packages together that focuses on Latin America content for people living outside of Latin America, but they still want to reach and have that local content. We are also working with major companies in Nigeria and Kenya and South Africa to bring that content internationally for people also living outside. I mean, ScreenHits is really about bringing the key content globally to viewers all over the world, no matter where they are. Our U.S. team is in touch with Univision, trying to work out a deal, as well as with some other major players in that market.
Mm-hmm. One area of this new TV world I didn't get into yet, let's do it now, is these network aggregators. Companies like Cinedigm, Future Today, Jukin Media, that all are aggregating individual networks and selling them as a package or as multi-service bundles. Do you see them as part of the ScreenHits fraternity here?
Not now. I think our focus is really on trying to streamline the process and not be a, I don't want to say the word dumping ground, but we don't want to just be a place where everybody just kind of throws everything in, because we don't want to distract from our core customers and bringing a streamlined discovery tool to consumers. We do have a live TV functionality, so we are working with some of the larger channels and creating a live bundle package for them, but we're doing that directly. And again, it would be a premium selection. It would never be 800 channels. It would be no more than 50 live channels in any given market. So for ScreenHits, no, but I do see that happening with a lot of the other aggregators out there, like a Roku that takes everybody.
Yeah.
Under their umbrella. The
other arena I wanted to get into before we wrap is interactive services. We are definitely starting to see a movement toward interactive programming. You have organizations like Peloton and Beachbox launching their own interactive fitness channels where you can watch on the TV set, not necessarily on the bike or the treadmill. Samsung is coming out with a project called Smart Trainer. You have Food Network Kitchen, which is now starting to expand beyond Amazon Fire TV. There are some interesting content services that are tangentially using smart TV sets and devices. Look like they're going to go forward. We talked about Rival Peak, the artificial intelligence virtual world that was on Facebook Watch and Portal TV. Does interactive TV at some point have a place with your venture?
Yes. Yes. I think done correctly, where it makes sense, like, for example, from a fitness standpoint, you know, being able, especially in these situations where you're not able to get to your gym or to your trainer, or you want to have a trainer that's not based in your area, but you know they're one of the best, and being able to interact and having a session with that person, I think that that's very powerful. And I think that it does have a place in certain categories. I don't think it has a place splattered across the entire genre section, because then it becomes overwhelming and it distracts. But I do think for certain sections, 100%. And, you know, you also kind of, you're starting to see it right now with, like, watch together. You know, it's a very, you know, soft space into that where you're able to connect with your friends. You know, our platform will allow you to connect with them while your friends are on your tablet, so it doesn't interfere with actually seeing your friends' faces on the TV, because who really wants to have their friends' faces on the side of the TV when you're trying to watch a program? But having them in the room with you on your mobile or your tablet while you're watching that, interacting with them, that's kind of a start to that. And there's many different ways that you can integrate it. But again, I think it should always be done where it's not invasive and annoying to the viewer. Because at the end of the day, the viewer wants to have a simple viewing experience.
So you see video chat or something like Twitch as something that can be done well on the TV set and can be a very big. I know, by the way, that Portal TV, and it didn't get out of play over the before the weekend, but it should have, which is that Zoom is going to become a feature on Portal TV very soon.
I think it does have, you know, I think it does. I mean, whenever we develop things for screeners, the first thing we always ask is, would I use it? Would I want that? You know, how would I feel about that? And I would definitely love to see my trainer on, like, my TV set, you know, saying, okay, Rose, let's go. You know, let me see you do those 20 push-ups. And they're right there, and I can communicate. And I'm having my, you know, sports thing versus just watching a video of someone saying, do this exercise, do downward dog. It's so much better. And I think that is an interactivity that makes sense, especially in our platform, and I would definitely welcome that.
What have you learned about putting this venture, about your own, you know, model as an executive and operating a certain, being an entrepreneur?
It's hard. I think that it's, you know, it's very difficult. You know, it's really important to have a network of people. Some people naturally just are surrounded by very strong, powerful people that can help push things through. Others have to kind of work from the bottom and slowly work their way up. I think you can get there even if you have to go step by step. And I think the most important thing is that, you know, you kind of set small goals and you hit that goal and you move forward. And you create a product that you really believe in, and you wait till the product's really ready before you introduce it to the market. You don't wait too long, but you wait just enough, and you build strong relationships. And you just keep going because it's right before most people quit too soon because they've got there and they just didn't take that extra step over the way. And I think adaptability is key because the world's always changing. Technology's moving so fast. Everything's moving so fast. And when you're just against change and you want to just keep things where they've always been because it's safe, that's where people fail. The people that change the world and that create innovation, they're always one step ahead. They're always pushing the envelope. They're always adaptable to change.
The project is Screen Hits TV, and it's the force behind it saying this is like the new way that you can get your favorite shows, whether you watch them on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Disney+, Discovery+, HBO Max, et cetera, in one shop. And for more details about the service, here's where you go online, screenhitstv.com, exactly how you might see it. ScreenHitsTV.com, now available on some smart TV sets and devices, others to come in the upcoming months. Rose Atkins-Hulse, the chief executive of Screen Hits, thanks for joining us live from London. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Good luck with the venture as it goes forward, and let's stay in touch. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks for having me on. Good night. Bye.
You're very welcome, Rose. Take care. Have a great night where you are. Rose Atkins-Hulse, joining us live from London this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. More of our programs coming your way shortly, but first some words to the fine folks and our sponsor, Audible.com. One of the great classic science fiction novels of all time is Dune, which is coming back both as a new television series and as a new movie, we understand, in the very near future. But if you don't want to wait for those projects to come out at a theater or a TV set near you, how about checking out What Made It All Possible, the original book by Frank Herbert? You can, with a trial subscription right now with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Verbal, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, health and wellness information for limited time only, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Oh, and if you're already an Amazon Prime member, here's some great news for you. You can get two audiobooks for your trial of one, including a book from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcasts, Best of Broadway, Off-Broadway Regional Theater, and great one-woman and one-man shows. So have a making today or this week, the week that you determine how Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you know or love can view the world. What you got to do is check out audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up before the end of our 90 minutes, we'll go live to Los Angeles and hear Nigel Campbell, the executive producer of Bounce TV's Saints and Sinners, started 6th season last night on that network. But first, is blockchain and cryptocurrency coming back as a way to get new television programs off the ground and distributed? We'll find out from the two key executives who run Starport, which over Good Friday week raised $50 million through cryptocurrency, blockchain, I understand NFTs as well, to get some new projects going in TV and other facets of entertainment. We will meet the people behind it, Carrie Burnett and James Wines, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com. Together reaching over nearly 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home tonight for the Hilltop Radio Show. You want a great and different music experience? Check it out, the Hilltop Radio Show tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to half hour number two of Tomorrow Be Televised, 90 minute edition on this Monday afternoon. Simon Appbaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guest in the hour ahead, well, give us a call. We're waiting for it, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We are awaiting the two key executives behind Starport. It's a new interesting venture that involves blockchain, cryptocurrency, and maybe NFTs that over Good Friday week raised over $50 million for TV and other entertainment projects. So we are awaiting Carrie Burnett and James Wines, the two key executives behind Starport. So Carrie and James, if you hear us, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see you're ready to go on my computer screen, we will get you up and on the air. In the meantime, while we wait for them, let's do our classic trivia question segment. And as always, we got some prizes in play, three of them. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win them. Our prizes are from Zondervan Books. It's the wonderful, it's really a fantastic book from Richard Lee, the anchor person at Joseph MSNBC, called Enough About Me, The Unexpected Power of Selfishness. And we have a pair of musical prizes for you. The soundtrack, the original motion picture soundtrack of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, the music by Oscar winner John Williams, and Wycliffe Shawn's Carnival Volume 2, Memoirs of an Immigrant. Here's the question. It's our second week that we are opening this question. Second and last week, I should say. Here's the question. Name the actors who played, in the first season of Law & Order, the first pair of policemen. Name the actors who played, in Law & Order's first season back in the early 1990s, the first pair of policemen featured on the series. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, first correct answer wins those three prizes. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the questions tomorrow morning on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you have to be in, so do so, and all the very best to you. Once again, let's give you that question. Name the actors who played Law & Order's first pair of policemen in the first season of that long-running series. Ran 20 years on NBC, starting in the early 1990s. And of course, year 22 of Law & Order Special Victims Unit, now underway on NBC, Thursday nights at 9 o'clock East Pacific Time on NBC. And of course, just recently, the new Law & Order Organized Crime series got off to a very interesting start, produced here in New York, by the way, with Chris Maloney back as Detective Elliot Stabler in a new role dealing with organized crime and the mob in new ways and means, with Dylan McDermott, the first big villain, I might add, remember him from The Practice. So that's on 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific time. All right, well, we are awaiting the two executives from Starport, which is a venture that is quite unique. We found out about it from the fine folks at Deadline Hollywood Daily. You know, history may, in future years, look at this spring being the year, this spring being the comeback of two ways to get new TV projects off the ground, through crowdfunding. Back in late March, we talked to Angel Studios. That's the company that raised a few million dollars in crowdfunding to get some new TV projects off the ground, and they're going to do that on an ongoing basis. Well, You might say the same thing for blockchain and cryptocurrency. There is now a company that is using those two in tandem to get new TV and entertainment projects off the ground called Starport. And over Good Friday week, they raised, get this, $50 million. That's $50 million. And it was done through a combination of two companies. One is called Immersive Activity. They are a programmer that's also doing immersive, not just TV but and movies, but also immersive experiences at locations around the country. And Gibo Group, which is a finance organization that uses blockchain and cryptocurrency. So we are awaiting Cary Grenette, who is the head of Immersive Artistry. He's a former executive at Walden Media, the family-friendly production company for television and movies. And James Wines is one of the key people at Gibo Group. So again, Cary and James, if you can hear me, make the call. Join us, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see that you're on our computer screens, we will get you on the air. And in the meantime, while you're waiting, those of you who'd like to get a question in to either Cary, James, or both, well, make the call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers can anywhere, catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And you also have our chat room. You can use SimonApple04 by name. And, you know, as soon as we see your question in the chat room or comment in the chat room, we'll pose it to our guests. And if you just joined us, we'll let you know the top of the hour will go live to Los Angeles, and we'll speak with Nigel Campbell, the executive producer and showrunner of Saints and Sinners. That's the new Bounce TV. Actually, not the new Bounce TV program, but one of Bounce TV's most popular programs. It's now started its fifth season last night, Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Bounce TV. You can also catch previous episodes on Bounce TV's subscription video on demand service on smart TV sets and smart devices, and that is Brown Sugar. And by the way, they'll also get a second window on the fifth season episodes as well. So Nigel Campbell will join us at the top of the hour. Well, while we have some moments, and again, Cary and James, if you can hear us, or your PR people can hear us, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And while we wait for them to come on the air, I thought I was going to do this at the end of the episode, but I'll do it now. And that's a personal note. In case you haven't read my Facebook or my Twitter handle, yesterday I took the plunge. I got the coronavirus vaccine. I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine here in New York at the Javits Center around 9:50 a.m. yesterday morning. It was an amazing experience. It was something I was looking at for a long time. I'll be honest, I'm not a person who likes to get my body shot up with vaccines or other things. And I'm very squeamish about it. And when I got the polio vaccine years ago, I got it as a sugar cube. You know, they coated the vaccine with a sugar cube and put them out and no problem. And we've had some issues getting it here in New York. The Javits Center had a trial run of both the Johnson & Johnson and the Pfizer-Moderna vaccines. That's the two shots rather than one in the case of J&J. And unfortunately, it was stopped after 4 weeks. We didn't know it was a trial run, so there was a little bit of concern about it. And originally, I did make an appointment for the end of May. But I'm happy to say that thanks to my sister's daughter, Melissa Rubin, I was able to get the appointment yesterday. Little concern because there were reports on Good Morning America that the J&J vaccine was going to run out. But luckily, and it didn't. And I have to say, the people at the Javits Center, from opening the door to seeing you out the door after you get your vaccine, just marvelous. It's one of the best experiences I have ever had for something like this, away from your normal doctor or general practitioner. It was a really eye-opening experience. And you should know that yesterday there were over 12,000 people who were vaccinated, many with the J&J vaccine, some with the Pfizer-Moderna vaccine. And that was despite the rain that we had through most of the day. Everybody was just terrific. They really made your time there very comfortable. They were very thorough in terms of going through your your appointment, making sure everything was on the level. You had all the material ready to go, and the shot itself, 3 seconds and done. Really surprised. Not much. Just great. And I just want you to know I'm in very good shape. No side effects. Very, very happy. I did it. I'm really, really happy. And I know that my parents are through, who have gotten the vaccine while they were down, they're still down in Florida in Boynton Beach. They're through the roof. Melissa's through the roof. My family. I did a posting about it. I called it, Vaccine Mission Accomplished Sunday on Facebook. I've gotten like at least 10 comments and 25 people responding. So to everybody who responded on Facebook and Twitter to the news, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And more importantly, to everybody involved in the Javits Center, thank you. I really want to acknowledge and deeply thank you for what you are doing. The people administering the vaccine, the folks in the Green Guard that are directing people to where they need to go, all the folks doing the handling the appointments, you're doing a marvelous job, and you are all heroes. And keep that in mind, because we are licking this pandemic. And more clearly than before, we are licking this. You know, Coney Island reopened on Friday. Other things are reopening. Hopefully, the fact that millions of people in the New York metro area have now been vaccinated, fully vaccinated one way or the other, hopefully that will lead to bigger reopenings down the road and fast. So I'm more optimistic than ever that we are licking this pandemic and we're going to get to the next normal, and we may get to it a lot faster than we believe. And I'm happy to say that the cases are going down. The hospitals, at least in New York, the hospitalizations are going down. The deaths are way down all over the country, despite what you're hearing in some parts. And we're going to lick this. We really are. So again, to all the folks at the Javits Center and everywhere else that are administering the vaccines and being responsible for this, everybody in the front line, thank you for what you are doing. And thank you for the great service that you're providing. Because thanks to you, we are getting closer and closer to the day that this pandemic is licked to kingdom come. And it will, period. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And if the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is available where you are, get out there and get it. Hasten the day. And I'm thrilled to tell you that that so far the number of people getting vaccines is going up. I understand that Saturday and Sunday were the highest days yet. We're now above 4 million people a day across the country. And I think we're near 4.5. And I wouldn't be surprised if we hit 5 million or more before the end of the month. So it's happening. It is happening. And that's great to hear. All right. Carrie290 has joined our conversation. Carrie, you have a question or comment that you'd like to share on television on our guest that we're trying to get from Star Post or our guest from St. and Sinner coming up. Put in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. We really appreciate you being aboard. And once again, we are still waiting for the folks from Starport, Carrie Granat and James Wines. So, Carrie or James, if you hear us or your PR people can hear us, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as we hear you, we will get you aboard. In the meantime, if you missed our first half hour, I want to let you know that this is the first of three episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised we are doing this week. We have a nice one for you coming up tomorrow. We just arranged it today, early this afternoon. Apple TV Plus is having a press day for its popular workplace comedy, Mythic Quest. And we're going to have on our show tomorrow, in a special live interview from that press day, the co-creator and executive producer, Megan Gans. She's working with Rob McElhenney, who is the other major co-creator. And if you know that name, you know he's also involved with the longest-running comedy in the history of television. It only happens in Philadelphia, which is continuing on FX. So Megan will be with us. We'll talk to her about the show, which is going to its second season on Apple TV Plus next month. And there's a new special Season 1 extra episode that's coming up in the next week or two. And we'll talk about that as well. So be sure to be with us at a special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. It's 5 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Pacific. I see. Carrie, I understand, is on the chat room. Carrie, you've got to give us a call. I don't see you on the chat room, so give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. So as soon as you make that call and I see you on the computer with your phone, we'll get you on the air. That's the Carrie we were talking about. So Carrie, give us a call. 646-652-2906. Use that phone, and as soon as I see you on the phone line, we will get you on, okay? So hang in there, Carrie. Make the call, and as soon as we see you with the phone ready to go, we'll put you on, along with James. I guess both of you are on, okay? And as a matter of fact, there we go. So joining us live right now, one of the key principals behind Starport, Carrie Grenad. Carrie, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, and I just want to say that I really appreciated the power and the honoring that you did of that last segment of all the people who are on the front lines, and how important that call out was. So I really respect that tremendously. So thank you for doing that.
You're very, very welcome, Carrie, and thank you for the seconding the acknowledgement. I really appreciate it. So those people too. They're really amazing, amazing people up and down the line. Not one person made anybody uncomfortable. And there are a lot of people there yesterday. It's really, really sensational. Thank you. And Carrie, where are you calling us from? What city?
So I'm in Los Angeles today, and my partner James, who hopefully is also dialing in, he's in New Jersey, and we're thrilled to be on the show and very appreciative that you invited us.
You're very welcome. So, Carrie, let's get right to it. Talk about Starport. What is it designed to do when it comes to television, and how does it use blockchain and cryptocurrency?
For some time, the media business, the world of television, the world of entertainment, new companies had a very straightforward, traditional way of going about raising capital to launch their business. They would go out, try and raise equity from friends and family, or go out and hire an investment bank to go start a new studio, or they would go out and go hire someone on Wall Street to raise money from them from venture capital, private equity, family offices. And many very successful television studios, both in reality as well as narrative, have built successful businesses. But at the same time, there have been also many incredible showrunners and talent and companies that haven't been able to raise money, not because they don't have the right idea, but because people maybe don't see the vision for what those businesses could be. They don't have the vision for maybe, oh, you know what, there's a comic book that can be converted. There's a show that can be, have rights that are brought in. There's a way to rethink television today. I'm not quite sure, as I like to tell people, if, today's, today, history does repeat itself in content quite a bit, right? Today's Rod Serling is the Black Mirror series, right? So it's, and HBO stepped in very smartly and back then and supported that. But what if there's independent versions of that that are out there with other voices that are as profound and brilliant as those, right? So what this program is at Starport is it's the first real bridge to say there's many communities in the crypto space, and those communities are, are brilliant. They are, they love mythology. They are extremely knowledgeable. They have their finger on the pulse of what the consumer base really wants around the world, not just in the United States. And what if that community could be directly, have a direct voice in what should be funded going forward? So we've lived in this space. To the left, we've had, traditional funding. To the extreme right, maybe we've had crowdsource funding. I take a concept for a show that I want to do as a TV show, and I put it on a crowdsource funding site. The problem with that has been that it's been limited in its success to generate funding for projects, and they tend to kind of peter out on those crowdsource funding platforms. What if there was a platform where you already had a ready, attended group of investors, impassioned investors, who are seeking new voices, disruptive content, who are seeking media companies that are going to change the way we watch and enjoy television and media? Well, that's what Starport is. It's gone out and basically found some of the most incredible community leaders, investors, and others from the world of crypto, and it's created a platform now to invite in concept creators, IP, and new companies to present their vision to this community and get funded through the crypto community and build their own direct nexus to these communities and platforms to these communities so that there's a direct connect. Think about it from the standpoint of how successful like a show like Walking Dead was, right? Walking Dead wasn't just a show, you know, it was a community. It was a community that you know, had its own conferences, had its own festivals, had its own attire, had its own products, had its own language, had its own digital offerings. Well, now what if you could basically from the start have that community, only it's monetized on its own platform with its own crypto currency? And that's what the premise is here.
Well, I mentioned Ryan Patrick Hughes has joined our chat room. So, Ryan, thanks for coming by. You have a question or comment for our guest, put in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Carrie, Dylan and Hollywood Daily, when they discussed your venture, said that 16 family-oriented films and episodic TV projects are going to be funded through this $50 million that you've raised for Starport so far. Can you tell us about what TV shows you're looking at and how soon will they, because of this funding, get off the ground?
I can't speak to the individual projects. What I can tell you is that the platform is set up now to immediately start evaluating companies with IP in their in the cadre of their business, companies that have talent already attached, meaning we have four showrunners who are going to start creating material and we'd like to be part of those showrunners. They have a community they speak to, and that's kind of what has been identified already. And I think it's way more than that number that was talked about in the article. But they're ready to start. They're ready to start right now and very excited to start. Whether the cost of a specific project is $1 million or $10 million, they're ready to start getting behind those things right now.
Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, we had this initial surge of interest in using blockchain and cryptocurrency, Ethereum, Bitcoin, et cetera, as a way to create, finance, market, and distribute shows as well, to cut out the middleman, if you will. We had Singular DTV, we had Tata Tui, a number of other players, and for whatever the reason, a year later, after these ventures came out, nothing really much of consequence came out. What do you think is the difference now? Why can a Starport work now when it might not have been able to 3 years ago?
That's a great question, and I think the simple answer is that the market in general, James Wines is the co-CEO of Starport, has just joined. James, are you on?
Let me see if
James?
He has. I think he's just joined us on another line. James Wines, are you there?
I am here and very happy to be here.
James,
okay, James, I'd like you to answer.
Where are you calling from? What city?
James,
I am in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Great, in NJ, excellent. Okay, James, go ahead.
Sure. What can I help you with?
James, the question was just asked by Simon that I'd like you to answer because you'll be more erudite at it than I will, which is, and he brought up rightfully so, 3 years ago everybody was writing white papers and making all sorts of big promises that the world was going to change in entertainment. I'm paraphrasing. These aren't his words, by the way. And that there's all this change that was coming and lots of promises, and it went nowhere. What's the difference between then, 3 years ago, and today? All yours.
Okay, and are we talking about it from the media perspective, or are we talking about from how crypto is going to change the world?
From the media perspective, and how it would change how it would transform television.
Right, well, I think obviously Carrie's probably the best in terms of what the media landscape is going to look like in the future and how immersive is going to help bring us there. I can help explain how crypto and new developing means of finance are going to help bring those projects to life. I apologize for the noise. It's what is going to happen is for the first time sources developing new tools, new innovative tools, and new innovative ways to bring entertainment to the world, those same people who have the funding and the imagination and the want for these products are going to be able to directly finance the creation of those projects. So they have both the money and they have the love for the project, and they have the know-how and the tools. And now we're going to be able to put those people together with the storytellers, the Harrys and the Eds of the world, who are going to now be able to tell those stories directly to their audience, and their audience is going to be able to directly participate in financing the stories they want to hear. And that's the way it should be. And there's just been a lot of mess in between traditionally that prevents that direct connection, and we're going to just get to the direct connection, and we're going to make things happen that people want to see and that people want to come into existence. We're not going to just talk about it and dream about it. We're going to put those people together with the people who know how to do it and can afford to pay for it.
James, do both you and Carrie see Starport as an ongoing mechanism here? And do you see it also not only as a way for shows to be created and financed, but also be distributed? In other words, will you set up a distribution, you know, rather than take a show and give it to Netflix, or take a show and give it to Disney Plus, or take a show and give it to HBO Max, that Starport will also become a programming service?
No, it won't be a programming service like Netflix. What it will be, so Starport, just to be clear, Starport is a launch pad, right? And a launch pad is a means of putting project financing for networks on, you know, to put together the capital that's available in the crypto space that's available to finance projects. We find those projects. We pre-develop those projects. We make sure that they meet our standards, that they have the right people, they have the right idea, that it's moving blockchain into the future. It's not just continuing to build projects for project stakes, but rather it has an immediate use case. It's immediately deployable. It has the type of people that we're looking for that are connected to both the real world, but that also get what the blockchain is. They don't think of it as a lottery ticket. They don't think of it as a joke. They don't see it as something that is scary. They understand that it's more than just a investment. It's tools, right? People have lost sight of the reason why these things are going up in value is not just out of some sort of speculation. It's because what they represent are very, very innovative and very valuable tools. Blockchain is amazing, and what it can do is change the world and change all industries, or many, many industries. The first one we are starting with is entertainment, but there's a lot more to come, right? And so we are not a network. Immersive is a platform unto itself, right? And it will have many, many projects, starting with the ones that you've seen. There will be more, and then there will be more immersives, both in the entertainment sphere and in many other spheres, right? Blockchain's ability to change industries is almost limitless. People have been talking about it for a long time, and now we're going to help get those ideas implemented, right? We're about doing. We're about building, and we're going to start with immersive.
Yeah. Carrie, are we talking not just about TV series when it comes to television, but also television networks and maybe even interactive services?
Yes, I think what you have to think of is this was meant as a way to look at new distribution platforms, not in the traditional sense of, oh, we're going to create a competitor to Netflix. It's more about saying, what does the next evolution of TikTok look like for a community? What is the next evolution of, you know, what Meg Whitman and Jeffrey Katzenberg tried very, very smartly, and they gave it their best shot, and I was certainly part of it with Quibi. Can that be rethought out again, and maybe as a concept to do something? Is there a way to build platforms that are adjacent and supportive of the Rokus of the world in a different way? We don't know. I mean, there's so many things that we've seen out there where people are so smartly thinking about it, and this is not just about the United States. Again, we're looking at things right now. One of the people that's on the board of Starport ran a bunch of operations, massive, massive investment operation throughout Southeast Asia. You know, there's a gigantic opportunity in the growth of what you're calling television, but let's call it television streaming, you know, in that world. And, you know,
there's some really good ideas to grow that. And from those ideas and new content will become perhaps shows that can then be brought here.
I want to take a quick pause because we're coming up on a web identification break. I just want you to know that we're going to keep both James and Carrie on for another 5 minutes. Then Nigel Campbell from Saints and Sinners will join us live from Los Angeles because we did start the interview with Starport late. So stay tuned. More to come. Quickly, just want you to know you're listening to blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching nearly 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. So welcome back to the Marvy Televised. One of those who are just joining us at the top of the hour, Simon Abbott with you live from New York. 53 at the top of the hour, and joining us live for a few more minutes, because we started the interview late, are the folks behind Starport, Carrie Granat and James Wine. Carrie joining us from Los Angeles, and James joining us from Jersey State, New Jersey. One more question for both of you. They're coming up in a few minutes. We'll go live to Los Angeles and hear Nigel Campbell, the executive producer of Saints and Sinners, which last night started its fifth season on Bounce TV, with episodes also running on a delayed basis on Brown Sugar, which is Bounce TV's smart TV distributed subscription service. James, one more question for you. Does NFTs also fit in to this blockchain crypto mix?
They do. And for your audience, NFTs are non-fungible tokens. They are, as the name implies, a unique digital identifier that exists on the blockchain. And it is essentially a ownership certificate, a certificate of authenticity, so to speak, right? So instead of having a picture of the Mona Lisa that you took with your iPhone while you were visiting the museum, if you have the NFT of the Mona Lisa, it means that you own a copy of the Mona Lisa that has been digitally authenticated, and that authentication exists on the blockchain for everyone to see. And so that's what an NFT is. And currently it's being used very creatively for people to sell art and to sell other digital media and to provide a certificate of authenticity that allows the user to then say to the world, this is my thing, I own it, and I can trade it, I can use it to design my website, I can hang it in my house on a digital, you know, delivery device, what have you, right? And that's great. We love it. We think it's amazing. We love Foundation, for example, which is a site that's been devoted to this before it became important to the rest of the world, and we love it. But also, again, people forget it's not just a pretty picture. It's also software that exists on the blockchain, and there's lots of other cool things you can do with it. For example, we are currently using the NFT on Launchpad as a means of digital verification, not just of the piece of art, but of the person who has it. And so you can use that NFT now as you would use as a piece of identification for yourself to enter into various places on, let's say, you wanted to go to an entertainment network, it would allow you into that network as an identified person on the blockchain who has this pass, right? And so that's a new and creative, innovative use of NFTs that we have developed and we are currently employing. And so we're not only innovating in the real world, we feel like we're also finding new uses for these software tools that this very innovative community has developed that we think we can find new and fun ways to use. And that's an example.
Carrie, final question for you. What has been the reaction from the TV community to what you and everyone else involved with Starport is doing? And when will we start to hear about the projects? When will they go public with what their TV projects are?
So thank you for that question. The first answer is the response has been wonderful. Many of the agencies have reached out. They're extremely excited, as have several of the key showrunners out there who are interested in packaging new entities and whatnot. There's some very exciting new, what I'll call user-generated video share platform ideas that I think will change also how television is perhaps experienced that we've seen. The first use case will be in streaming tied to our immersive company and a Verse coin that we're launching, and that's what you'll see first. We've built something called the Immerse Network, which is a combination of location-based experiences as well as streaming and digital streaming. But very, you know, shortly thereafter, you'll start to see a handful of companies, and it won't be the way you're thinking about them. It's going to be more talent that have multitudes of kind of prongs out there and who have a bigger vision as to how to bring it to life, and this gives them the flexibility to do it.
got to tell you, I think we're just beginning this interesting journey of where TV may be at through StarPost. And if you want to know more about this venture and what it's up to, here's where you go online. Very unusual website. It's in terms of the spelling, it's www.strprt.com. www.strprt.com. That is Starport's website. And there's a nice video, by the way. You can check it out as you go with it. Carrie Grenat, James Ways, thank you both very, very much for coming aboard and talking about Starport. I have a hunch, like I said,
thank you.
We're going to be following what you're doing when it comes to television for quite a while. We really appreciate both of you being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time and having us. Bye-bye.
You're very, very welcome, Carrie and James. Take care. All the greatest.
Same to you, buddy.
Carrie Grenat and James Waves joining us live from Los Angeles and Jersey City, New Jersey, respectively, here on Swabby Televised. And now joining us live from Los Angeles, coming off the fifth season premiere last night on Bounce TV of Saints and Sinners, the executive producer and inter-radio exclusive, Nigel Campbell. Nigel, welcome and congratulations on launching season 5.
Hey, Simon. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. What's been the reaction so far, almost 24 hours in, to season 5 launching?
Well, you know, from what I've seen on Twitter, I do a live tweet with our fans throughout the episode, and then in the subsequent replay, everyone seems to be really, really excited about it. You know, we've been off the air since 2019, summer 2019, and we were delayed in terms of production and airing the show in 2020 due to COVID. So people have been waiting for a long time, and the audience has really been hungry for it, and I don't think we disappointed. I think people were really excited, and they're looking forward to a big, big season, and they should be, because it's going to be really fun.
And for those who are just joining us, if you have a question or comment for Nigel, well, give us a call. The number you use is 646-652-2906, 646-652-2906. Number good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio. Don't forget, we got a chat room open for you. We have a couple of people already in the room. And all you got to do is go to SimonApple04. You will find that chat room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Given the fact that the show has not been on in 2 years, was it tough, given the pandemic situation, to reunite the cast, reunite the creative team, and make the fifth season happen?
That's a great question. You know, I feel like in terms of reuniting the creative team, it was not difficult. We were all really eager to come back together to create a new season. You know, we love the show. Bounce and Swirl Productions, who actually produces our show, they brought us together to break season 5 in the writer's room in January of 2020. So this was before, you know, we really knew the scope of what COVID was going to be. And we wrapped the room at the beginning of March with the intention of going into production at the end of March. And as you know, March 2020, the world changed in a big way. So in terms of the creative team, we were all very excited to come back together. That wasn't difficult. But, you know, in terms of production, you are then managing a lot of actors' different schedules. And really, everything is in flux because nobody knows, like, what's really happening. You know, we were one of the first shows to come back into production. We started shooting on August 10th in 2020. At that point, there was only a small handful of productions that were shooting, most of them daytime soap operas, who were really leading the way and figuring out how to do this. But Swirl and Bounce really came together with a plan to effectively create television and film again in a safe way. And we decided that we were going to go and we were going to make it happen. And thankfully, we were able to do that. And we crossed the finish line and shot, you know, our entire season as well as a movie for Saints and Sinners.
Mm-hmm. Your program is one of two dramas with largely African-American casts that are marking a fifth season this year. Queen Sugar on Oprah Winfrey Network is the other one. And, of course, Queen Sugar is known for the fact that they have given a lot of women directors, including directors of color, a major break in the world of television. Why do you think your show has reached 5 seasons? What about the show or about the characters or the storylines, which deal with, by the way, a church? And I want to get more into that a little bit as we keep the conversation going. Why do you think the series has done well enough to go 5 seasons?
Well, I mean, I think that, first of all, you touched on one thing. I think that, you know, people came into the world of our show initially because it is based in a Southern Baptist church in a predominantly black community. And I think that the black community specifically really resonates with the world of the church. And so that's the world that we know. It's the world that we identify with. And so it's a really easy in for people. Now, over the course of 5 seasons, our show certainly expanded its scope into the city of Cyprus, and there are definitely different elements that we're playing into beyond the church. But I think that initial hook was there. On the other hand, we also have really, really fantastic veteran actors that, you know, are huge in our community and outside of it that inspire our audience and connect them to our show. So Vanessa Bell Calloway is, you know, a legend and really is the anchor lead of our show. Clifton Powell, also a legend. Donna Biscoe, Christian Keys, you know, Jasmine Burke, J.D. Williams, Trey Chaney. You know, we have actors from The Wire. So I really think that the audience connects with our cast and the initial hook of our show. And five seasons in, they've really grown to know and love these characters, and they are invested in them. So they want to see their journey, and they want to explore it further.
Mm-hmm. With this fifth season, how are the characters going to be explored further? Where are they, without doing too many spoilers, what is their track that's different this season from what they've done, how they've progressed before?
Well, you know, I think to your point, five seasons in, it's important to get different looks at these characters and give them new challenges to face. You know, we know these characters because we've been with them for 5 years, but we also need to go deeper. You know, we need to see what it is that makes them tick. Like, what other challenges can these characters face that shows you a different side of them that you haven't seen? And so that was really my goal when we were breaking this season and determining the story. It's just, how do we get a different look at these people? And also dig into our extensive bench of really, really talented performers. You know, we've got great talent and great actors, and I wanted to make sure that everybody could shine. So you know, my real aim was that, you know, five seasons in, we've seen these characters do a lot of things. They've done a lot. They've sinned a lot. So what are kind of the consequences of those sins? And I think you're going to see consequences across the board. Call it consequences, call it karma, what have you. You're going to be seeing a lot of it play out in season five.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Saints and Sinners, this Bounce TV's popular hour-long drama series, and the fifth season started last night. The next episode, number two, is going to be this Sunday, 9 p.m. East Pacific time on Bounce TV with Brown Sugar, which is Bounce TV's special service available on smart TV sets and smart devices, presenting the program shortly afterwards. We're talking with executive producer Nigel Campbell. He joins us live in Los Angeles this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Tom, how about you do from New York? Happy to have you aboard. First of three episodes we're doing this week. And if you have a question or comment for Nigel, don't be shy. Make your move and call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. If you just joined us, we have a special episode of our show tomorrow at a special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. And joining us will be from the popular Apple TV Plus series, Mythic Quest, going into its second season next month, co-creator and executive producer Megan Gans. That's Megan Gans joining us live. That's going to be tomorrow, special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And coming up Friday at our regular time, we'll have Mark Bishop, the executive producer of Not One, but two new scripted series on BYU TV, The Parker Andersons and Amelia Parker. They're both related in a very special way, and Mark will tell us all about it. And the composer of Kung Fu, Wednesday night on the CW, Sherry Chung. She also does the music for Blind Spot on NBC and Riverdale, another series on the CW. Sherry Chung from Kung Fu and other shows joining us live. A lot of people think she's one of the big hot new composers on the TV scene. And we'll hear from her. That's Friday, 3 p.m. New Pacific exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Nigel, one of the things that a lot of TV series, one way or another, are dealing with is this issue. Do we incorporate the coronavirus pandemic in our storylines? Was there any thought about that for season five?
You know, there was certainly thought about it. With our show, we thankfully have the luxury in that we're actually a few years timeline-wise behind. So we're not in the year 2020 on our show. We're technically in the year 2017. So with that, we didn't have to address COVID. But, you know, it was a discussion. Like, is there some responsibility to do that, or do we want to have our characters engage in that conversation? And we decided that we didn't. You know, we really wanted this to be escapist. The show is wild and sort of twisted as it is. So we really wanted to just give people that hour of escape and drama and twists and turns without having to, you know, worry about people wearing masks.
Mm-hmm. I'm raising the subject because, as you know, in some states there's been a controversy that the lockdowns in some states forced churches, synagogues, mosques, et cetera, to either shut down or to be operating with limited capacity. And that has raised a lot of issues in the religious community about it. So that's why I was wondering whether that might be a theme in terms of either this episode this season or for future seasons.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that it's certainly a conversation that's worth having. I think that in the world of our show, Cyprus being a fictional suburb of Atlanta, fictional city, fictional world, I don't think that it's something that we're going to tackle on Saints and Sinners. But of course, you know, that can change. You know, you never know what's going to happen season to season. But, you know, I think that season six, season seven, if we are blessed to go that far, we will hopefully be outside of a COVID coronavirus world. So I doubt that we'll be going backwards into that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing, too, about this season, it's coming off Saints and Sinners' first movie, which you did that I think appeared last year on Bounce TV. Talk about the making of that. What made the decision to take the characters and expand them from a weekly hour to a 2 hour or so made-for-TV movie?
So we actually aired the movie on Valentine's Day of this year, 2021, and we shot the movie after we completed production on season five. So we shot season five in 10 weeks, took about a week or so off to continue pre-production, and then went right into the movie and shot that in 3 weeks. So it was all a very quick process. And really the idea was, you know, again, we've been off the air for 2 years, and we wanted to tee up our audience for the return of the show and really just get them excited to revisit these characters and bring them all back. So that was really the inspiration of it. I'm not going to be cynical to call it a marketing tool, but it was like, let's get the audience excited to welcome these characters back for season five, and let's also reward the audience for their patience. And I will say that the movie itself, you know, I wrote the movie, and so I really wanted it to feel different than the television series. I didn't want to just, you know, do an additional two-hour episode of the show that felt kind of tacked on. I wanted to take a big swing and do something that I felt like warranted, you know, a movie. So that movie, Saints and Sinners Judgment Day, is self-contained for the most part. It definitely has a beginning and a middle and an end, but it also loosely bridges season four to season five. So it's a great way for our audience to come in and just have, you know, an explosive experience, and new viewers can tune in and not be completely lost. But it also, you just really get them excited for season five, which I think it served that purpose.
Curious, why did you decide to produce the movie after you finished the season as opposed to doing it beforehand?
Well, it's all just about scheduling. You know, we block shoot our show. So, and by that I mean, you know, with the character of Mayor Ella Johnson, for instance, any scenes that are taking place in her home, we'll shoot all of her scenes in her home over the course of, you know, the 3 days that we have that location. So we could be shooting something from episode one, episode five, episode eight, all within, you know, a period of 2 or 3 days. And so, you know, it really just came down to scheduling purposes. We had our actors that we needed in place for the season, and we used a smaller segment of the cast to tell somewhat of a smaller story, more intimate story for the movie. So it just worked out that way.
Mm-hmm. By the way, do you shoot the series in Los Angeles?
We actually shoot in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, how has that been? Because it looks like Atlanta, starting last summer, really started to pick up. Tyler Perry was able to do the coronavirus quarantine and make it work for the numerous shows he does for BET and BET Plus and on the Viacom channels. Other people have done the same thing. It seems Atlanta has really been, along with New York, sort of a forerunner in terms of getting TV production back in a big way.
Absolutely. Atlanta really was up and running in a big way, and they were the model, you know, because we were all sort of determining, like, how do we do this safely? And it was Atlanta-based productions that really took the leap and decided to do it. You know, you mentioned the Tyler Perry example. You know, my understanding is that, you know, he sort of handled all of his productions in a military – his studio was basically on a military barracks, so he was able to sequester everybody and shoot his entire season out in that bubble. so to speak. We did things, you know, somewhat differently in that we don't have, you know, a full-scale bubble military barracks, but what we did have was, you know, regular testing 3 times a week and really a sense of shared communal responsibility. You know, we were responsible for each other and our health. And, you know, not only could you get someone else sick, if you weren't responsible, production might shut down. And no one wants to be responsible for that because there's a lot of money involved. So I think that everybody was really, really attuned to that. And we all had the same goal of completing this safely. Speaking for myself, you know, I do live in Los Angeles. I was in Atlanta producing the show. And, you know, I kept myself sequestered in my condo the entire time I was there, you know, other than when I was on set, because I didn't want to bring COVID, you know, onto our set and potentially cause a shutdown. So I think we're all just really keenly aware of the responsibility that we had.
Are there any new characters or actors joining season 5 that you're particularly, you and everyone out there are particularly excited about?
You know, I'm so excited by the addition of Greg Allen Williams, who is also just such a consummate professional and a legend in his own right. You may be familiar with him from his work on Greenleaf, you know, more recently. He is wonderful and comes in, not a spoiler at this point, he comes in to play the role of Victor Thompson, which was revealed last night. That's the father of a character that was murdered in our season 4 finale. And he also plays a pretty key role going forward into the season, which I'll let fans that may not have seen yesterday's premiere catch up on. But he is just so wonderful, such a professional, you know, kind, prepared, and just a real force. And I think that our audience is really going to gravitate to him and the charisma that he brings to the screen. And, you know, we'll also have a few other new faces that I can't really talk about right now. I will say that one new face was Ashani Roberts, who came in the recasted role of Tamara Austin. And that was last night. She made her debut, and she is really, truly wonderful. We're so lucky to have her, and I'm so happy to be able to continue exploring the character Tamara's journey this season through Ashani. Unfortunately, scheduling, you know, due to COVID and other projects, made it so that our original portrayer of that role, Demetria McKinney, wasn't able to join us this season. And so I'm just thrilled that we were able to continue telling the character of Tamara's story via Ashani Roberts joining our show.
Yeah. You're hearing Nigel Campbell. He's the executive producer of Saints and Sinners. Just started its 6th season last night on Bounce TV, Sunday nights at 9:10 Eastern Pacific Time. And if you have a question or comment for Nigel, our many moments with us here on Tawabi Televised this afternoon live from Los Angeles, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 049. I think somebody was trying to get on the line, so call back if you have a question or comment, and we'll put you on. Remember, tomorrow, special edition with Megan Gantz, co-creator and executive producer of Mythic Quest, going into its 2nd season next month on Apple TV+. She will be live and joining us. That's tomorrow at a special time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Nigel, one of the big things that people are talking about more than ever before is franchise. You know, how do we take a single show like a Game of Thrones, like a Law and Order and so forth, and how do we franchise it, do multiple shows? Has many talk about, let's say, breaking out a storyline or breaking out a character, like a Bethel Calloway's character, for example, and doing a spinoff of Saints and Sinners?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I mean, you obviously use the example of Vanessa Buck-Calloway, and I would argue that she is the lead of Saints and Sinners. So I don't know that we would do a spinoff of, you know, her character, because, I mean, Saints and Sinners is really in large part built around her. I think that there are a lot of wonderful characters and a lot of wonderful performers on our show whose stories could be explored in possibly a deeper way, you know, with more time to tell those stories. So certainly there are options. I haven't had any, you know, deep in-depth conversations about spinoffs, but, you know, anything is possible. We have a really popular show, and our audience certainly has gravitated towards all of our characters. So who knows? Who knows? We'll see what happens.
And what about another made-for-TV movie?
Ooh, you know what? I would love to do that. That would be so fun. You know, I really enjoy the process of writing Saints and Sinners Judgment Day and getting to just try something different tonally with the show. You know, you want it to feel like the world that you know, but you also want it to feel different and maybe even a little bit more heightened because it's a movie. So you just want it to feel different. And so it allowed me to stretch my muscles in a different way, creative way. So I'd love to do that again and hopefully give it a totally different feel than Saints and Sinners Judgment Day.
Yeah. And while you wait for, along with the rest of the cast and crew, to see if we get season six, are you working on any other TV projects, either by yourself or with other people?
Yes, I am. I have a few different projects that are currently in development, some at different stages, two with two separate collaborators and a few different pilots that I'm writing on my own. I can't, unfortunately, speak about them in any sort of detail right now, but yeah, you know, I'm definitely looking to continue to grow and create opportunities, you know, for myself and create shows that I think that I want to see and that I think that other people will really enjoy for a lot of different audiences. You know, I think that I probably covered the church drama with Saints and Sinners, so looking to expand and try a few different things. I'm certainly into a lot of different things, you know, from young adult drama to comedy, so we'll see what happens.
And we certainly will, starting this coming Sunday night, 9:10 Eastern Pacific Time, when Episode 2 of Season 5, Saints and Sinners, can come your way on Bounce TV. Check it locally where Bounce TV is available as either a cable, satellite, or multicast channel. More details about the program online, go to www.bouncetv.com. That's www.bouncetv.com. And don't forget, episodes will then replay on Brown Sugar, which is the Bounce TV service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And again, for all details on that, BounceTV.com. Nigel Campbell, executive producer of Saints and Sinners, congrats on getting Season 5 off the ground with your team and crew, and, of course, your cast. Thanks again for joining us. It's been a real pleasure, and all the best to you to keep the long run going.
Thank you so much for having me, Simon. I appreciate it. Thank you for the support of the show.
You're very, very welcome. It's a pleasure, Nigel. Take care. All the greatest. Have a great week.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Nigel Campbell, executive producer of Saints and Sinners, joining us live from Los Angeles. We promised you a jam-packed 90 minutes, and I think we delivered. And boy, it'll be interesting to see how Screen Hits TV, and especially Starport, will impact TV in the months and maybe years ahead. We will see. Could this be, this spring, that both crowdfunding and blockchain and cryptocurrency really do become major factors in TV projects of all kinds getting off the ground? We will see. Be with us tomorrow, 5:10 Eastern, 2 Pacific, when my guest will be from Mythic Quest and Apple TV+, co-creator and executive producer, Megan Gantz. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast available on iTunes, Apple TV, other podcast sites as well, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And remember, we'd love to hear what you think about the program today. We'd love to hear your thoughts about Starport and Screen Hits TV and also Saints and Sinners. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter. We do respond to what you have to say because what you say matters. And thanks to all of our guests for being here today. It really was a special 90 minutes. The views expressed here were those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate, BTR, is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Lobby Televised brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For 100 free audiobooks and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. Be back with us tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, with Megan Gantz of Mythic Quest. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, plus Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe, make it great. If you need the vaccine, take it, and let's lift this pandemic now and forever. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.